Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I know, all the waiting. You've been waiting for this day for so long, but don't worry, we made it. The NFL trade deadline has indeed arrived. Welcome to Election Day. You decide. Democracy in action. We get a chance to get a free sticker. 2024. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. We will keep you posted on the NFL trade deadline. There's already been a couple of big moves, including one involving one of the local teams, the New York Jets. We'll address it as the show rolls on. We'll talk to you as well at 888-808-1019. But I feel very cleansed to be able to have this discussion today with you, Tiki.
Why is that?
Because I always thought it was dirty to do this before today. I always thought it was like I was cheating or you guys were cheating or I was really trying to sleep with somebody else's significant other if we had this discussion prior to today.
I mean, bad Tiki's trying to sleep with your wife.
that is true. But for me, I feel very cleansed, and I want to make this perfectly clear. There's no malintent towards Yankee fans listening. This is not personal. This is strictly business. This is the free agent we as Met fans have waited for. This is the guy. This is the moment. This is the player that when Steve Cohen bought the New York Mets 4 years ago, news first broken by Tiki Barber, our fantasy was to get a player like this. So as we begin MLB free agency, I want to make this as clear as humanly possible as one Met fan speaking to many others with Yankee fans also listening. They have to sign Juan Soto, and they are the New York Mets, and he is Steve Cohen. And there's a myriad of reasons why, but I just want to declare that today because I'm no longer talking about somebody who's with you. I'm not trying to steal your wife anymore. I'm not trying to steal your girlfriend anymore. He's available. He'll sleep with anybody for the right price. And to me, the person he decides to marry must be the New York Mets.
So you're going to upset Yankee fans for sure because the Yankee fan believes that the team that they must sign with, he must sign with, I say they because it's really him and Scott Boras, but that they are going to lean towards should be the New York Yankees. But I get why the Met fan believes that it has to be with them. I get why Juan Soto better be offered every dime that Steve Cohen possesses to give to him. And we'll talk about that number a little bit later because I think I had an epiphany about what he should be
worth. Oh, an epiphany! or me. I forget how you say it.
Right, but I get why the Met fan says this, but there's no way that it's ever going to be guaranteed to go to the Mets simply because Steve Cohen is the richest owner in maybe all of sports, not counting the international ones, but certainly the most aggressive one that we've seen in a while. And so, like, you go back to the George Steinbrenner eras with the Yankees, it was money, but it wasn't like money like this. This is by a country money.
Yeah, yes, it is.
That we're talking about.
It is.
We're not talking about like, oh, you're just very highly paid. This is serious, almost $1 billion money, which is insane to think about.
No question, but if there is a player that deserves it, It's him.
No doubt about it.
He's the guy. He's the guy we've been waiting for. And I'll tell you why this is personal on a lot of levels. For anyone, I would say, above the age of 30 or 35. If you're a little bit younger, I will tell you a story. If you're a little bit older, you'll say, Evan, I get it. I want to take you back exactly 24 years ago. There was another generational free agent. There was another guy that was rumored to wanting to play for the New York Mets. In fact, he was so linked to the New York Mets that his nickname became Sherrod. Literally his nickname. And so that winter, it was, oh my God, the Mets are going to get A-Rod. Which, I know they had gotten Piazza a few years earlier, but this was different. This was the best player in baseball. This was a guy at 25 years old. This was the definition of a generational talent. And if they got him, everything would have been different. I can't rewrite Met and Yankee history, but I could tell you things would have been very different in the early 2000s. And for a myriad of reasons, and by the way, same agent, hello, Scott Boras, but for a myriad of reasons, it didn't happen.
Yep.
The number one reason is ownership at the time. Ownership wasn't as committed to spending that kind of money, which seemed obscene at the time, $352 million, to get the generational talent. Well, here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, 24 years later, and while there are always good free agents, there are always really good free agents. How often is there a free agent like this?
Yeah, the generational free agent.
Yeah.
The one that's the right age, who's not, you know, close to being near his decline on the top of the hill. He's not even close to the top of the hill.
He may not even be in his prime yet. That's how young he is.
Right, that's what I mean. And so you think about the number that it's going to take. That's one thing. But you think about the lift that he's going to give. Think about what he did with the Yankees. When we had those moments where the Yankees were just, they were just bad. No one was hitting, and Aaron Judge goes into a little bit of a slump for a couple weeks. Juan Soto was Juan Soto consistently throughout it, especially once you got to the point of the season that mattered in the postseason. And so, like, he changes your clubhouse, right? He changes your organization. If you're a team like the Mets, who struggled to get fans in the stadium earlier this year, people are going to go to see him.
I agree with that. I think that's a big aspect of this that I may not necessarily care about, and maybe there are a lot of Met fans that don't necessarily care about how many people are showing up at Citi Field.
Yeah, but trust me, your owner does.
But, and the owner should. And that's why, if Steve Cohen is listening right now, I tell you a few things. One of which is, I do think this changes the perception of the New York Mets. The Mets had a really good year last year. It was a fun year. But you know as well as I do, Steve, that place was a ghost town for a big part of the year. I know full well as a season ticket holder. You know full well as a businessman. And while I think the Mets will draw better in 2025, if you want to make an even bigger impact, it's bringing in box office. And there are very few guys in Major League Baseball that I would say would qualify as box office.
Right.
He's one of them. So I admit, I don't care about this aspect. I don't care how many people show up to Citi Field or how much money Steve Cohen's going to make, but I also know that it matters. You've brought it up. I'm sure ownership thinks about that, and I do think that that impacts the Mets a lot. Like, you sign a guy like Juan Soto for a myriad of reasons, not just because people want to see him play, but I think because it sends a message. It sends a message that the Mets are not just a big market team. They're the big market team. And keep that in mind about Steve Cohen. I like Steve Cohen. I will be grossly disappointed if they're not the highest bidder for Juan Soto. I'm not going to tell you they can't win a World Series or he should sell the team or he's a fraud. But here's what I will say about Steve Cohen if he's not the highest bidder. You're not who we thought you were. You'd be a big market owner, and that's a huge upgrade over the Wilpons, and thank you for that. But you're not what we thought. And what we thought is you won't be outbid for the very, very best. And Tiki, this man is the very, very best.
Of course he is. But I wonder if who we thought Steve Cohen is matters to Steve Cohen.
Maybe it doesn't.
I don't know if it does. Because I think when you hear what David Stearns has said, and he said it last week, a week ago tomorrow, about not being imprudent spending money. Obviously, they're going to spend money, but not being imprudent spending money. Maybe that shift has already happened. Maybe David Stearns is convincing Steve Cohen, yes, you need to spend money, but don't do it irresponsibly.
I don't think signing Juan Soto is irresponsible.
I don't think it is either, but I'm just talking about the concept of of Steve Cohen having an unlimited checkbook to spend as much money as needed, as necessary. He's not a private equity firm.
He's not, like, Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is, but he's not. He's not like Guggenheim.
Right.
It's not like he's got resources upon resources, and if you run out of resources, there's just more resources. He's an individual owner, and so I think it's a little bit different. And I think that perception probably needs to change a little bit.
I think this is where we find out, though, Teague. Like,
but this is exactly where we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Like, how far is he willing to go and reach into his pocket and say, Juan Soto, I'm going to make you the highest paid player that baseball has ever seen. And as I've rethought about this, he might go over Shohei. And now I look back on Shohei's deal and say, you know what? That was worth it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah,
he won a world championship. He plays through injury. The number of fans that the Dodgers and he garnered because of the aura of it was massive.
Right.
Think about, I'm talking mostly just to Japanese audience that are now Dodgers fans, but if you're a neutral observer of baseball and you watch that Dodgers team, you're like, dude, I kind of like these guys.
And he hasn't even pitched yet,
exactly.
For the Dodgers, that is.
That's what I mean. And so whatever he spent was worth it. So Juan Soto's not quite there because of the novelty of being a two-way player, but he's still the greatest player in baseball right now.
Right, but he also possesses something else. Like, Ohtani, the two-way aspect of it was incredible.
Yes.
But he's also a few years older. Like,
right.
Age matters. And look, over the last few years, because we've had a few years now of Steve Cohen owning this team, I would absolutely say he's a big market owner. And I would say he's a great upgrade over the Wilpon regime. Like, they bid on Yoshinobu Yamamoto. They got outbid, and they bid.
He was never coming here.
He was probably never coming here. I was disappointed a year ago when they never made a serious attempt to get Shohei Ohtani. But as you tried to explain to me, the guy never wanted to come here either.
Also was never coming here.
Totally fair. This is different, though. This is why this is the litmus test. Litmus test for Steve Cohen.
Yes.
And again, he's a big market owner. I acknowledge that, and I appreciate that he owns my team. But this is the test on if he's just a big market owner or if he's the big market owner. Because you can explain away a lot of free agents over the last few years. Oh, this guy's 30. Oh, this guy's 31. Oh, this guy's just the best player on the market. He's not the best player. Or you could even explain away, that guy doesn't want to play here.
Right.
Juan Soto fits none of that.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly likes New York.
Right.
He clearly wants to go to the highest bidder.
Right, I was going to say, most importantly, Evan, he's clearly a mercenary.
Yes.
There is not a loyalty to anyone unless you're a conspiracy theory about the Washington Nationals proves to be true.
Right.
And he takes a lesser deal because they've built their team up with the trade that sent him to San Diego, and now he comes back, and they're a powerhouse.
Right.
Right. That's the only way that he isn't a mercenary.
No, he is a mercenary.
But I think, actually, he is a mercenary.
And he's also, here's the other quality, and this is number one on my list for why
I'm not using that word derogatorily like you usually do.
No, I only use it derogatory when I'm mad.
Exactly.
When I'm happy, it's like, oh, I love my mercenaries. The problem is I haven't had a chance to love my mercenaries very much. But Juan Soto is also very different than all those other mercenaries because when some of my teams brought in...
You mean they're not old?
Yes. Well, and that's the end-all be-all to this whole thing. He's 26 years old. Like, I brought my son to work today because he didn't go to school for Election Day. He's 8 years old.
Mm.
Think about this. Juan Soto's going to retire when he's able to have an alcoholic beverage. Like, my son will grow up watching Juan Soto. He's so young that this is not a 3-year thing or a 5-year thing. And there are very few free agents who fit that. Now, I'm obligated to bring up another factor, and I'm going to admit this to you. This doesn't move me, but I know it moves a lot of people in the audience, and believe it or not, I know it moves my 8-year-old son. He is sick and tired of being mocked or ridiculed by Yankee fans. Now, I'm above that. I don't care about that. Mm. When Sean Morash tries to be a jerk about the Mets, I smile and move on. Tommy Lugauer is not above that, and I don't mean that in a negative way. Tommy will say, go bleep yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the move that changes everything. This is also the move that changes the perception of everything. Now, I don't want to sign a guy just to stick it to the Yankees. I think that's stupid, and I think that's foolish. But I also would be naive not to bring what this does. I was talking to Jed about this a few days ago because he even said, why, Dad, do we root for all the underdogs? Why, Dad, is everyone else like all the other teams in school? The Giant fans, the Knicks fans, the Met fans. And I said, look, it's just the way it is. He's annoyed at Yankee fans, not because I taught him anything, but because they're mean. And you know what he told me?
What's that?
They sign Juan Soto, he'll put that freaking jersey on immediately just to stick it to him. Now, I need a guy to perform for me before I wear their jersey, but I understand and I appreciate Tommy, Jet, and every other Met fan that feels like that's the cherry on top to this whole thing. That doesn't move me. I'll tell you what moves me. He's 26 years old and awesome. And when Steve Cohen bought the team, this is what we dreamt about. This is the player we dreamt about. So, Steve, if you're listening, you'll never be dead to me. I would never use phrases like that, Tiki.
Yeah.
But I'll be grossly disappointed if you're not the highest bidder. We want you to be the highest bidder. We need you to be the highest bidder. We need you to bring in the fish that Fred Wilpon refused to bring in 24 years ago when Alex Rodriguez was on the doorstep. It would have changed everything. And to me, this changes everything. So I feel cleansed to have this conversation because I never really wanted to have it while he was a New York Yankee. I thought it was dirty and I thought it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But as free agency has begun, let's have the conversation. It is time for the New York Mets to do something they've never done. Go get the superstar, game-changing, generational, 26-year-old franchise talent and bring him to my stadium. You're damn right.
Who was that?
That was Ted DiBiase reminding everybody, everybody's got a price.
Money isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Your thoughts, T?
I mean, everything does have a price. I don't disagree.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Agree with you.
Thank you.
But I also don't think that the Yankees are just going to let that happen. I also don't think that the Baltimore Orioles or the LA Dodgers are just going to let that happen. There are a lot more billionaires now, or billionaire owners, groups, or individuals in Major League Baseball. And so they all feel the same way. Maybe the Dodgers a little less so because they just won a championship, but they might want to be Gavones, right? They might just want to say, we want it all. Let's create a dynasty. The dynasty doesn't exist in baseball. I mean, it hasn't for a long time. And so think about what the Dodgers could do if they had every player, every star, except for Judge and a few others, that any baseball fan wants to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Okay.
That's what the Dodgers probably want to do.
But Tiki, the Dodgers can do it. The Yankees could do it. And look, these discussions are very complicated here in New York City because the Yankee fan has a very strong opinion on what they should do for Juan Soto. And I've made it clear as an IBO when I talk about this. The Yankees can't be outbid.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. But what I would tell you is if you're Steve Cohen with all those millions and billions of dollars, you make sure you're not outbid.
Mm.
If you want to play poker with Hal Steinbrenner and Guggenheim and the Washington Nationals and John Middleton, then play poker and whip their ass. I get it's going to cost a lot of money. I get it. And I know there are going to be people who call up today, and I welcome you to debate this, 888-808-1019, and they say, he's not worth it. How can you pay him $52 million a year or $45 million a year? Well, what I will say to you is you're wrong. That's what I'll tell you, and I'll explain why. And for Steve, you're right that there will be competition. This will not be just lay down your swords.
No
Hal Steinbrenner won't lay down his sword. But if you're Steve Cohen, make sure you win the war. Make sure that at the end of the day, because they didn't do this with Yamamoto. They didn't. They didn't do this with Shohei Ohtani. They didn't. This will be the first time in which they make it clear we're going to be the highest bidder. And if Juan Soto wants to stay in the Bronx for less money, God bless him. If Juan Soto wants to go back to Washington, D.C. for less money, as much as this would pain me, because that would bother me more than the Yankees, God bless him. But don't give him the opportunity to take more money elsewhere.
You say that Hal won't lay down his sword. I have a little clip. It's 2 seconds long. It's from Brian Cashman after last season.
Go ahead. I don't know if anybody compete with Steve Cohen.
Well, leave no doubt, because that's the key to bringing in the biggest fish in the history of the New York Mets. Your call's next, 888-808-1019. We will get into the decisions made by Todd Bowles last night that is still causing me a massive headache. Plus, we will predict the contracts for Juan Soto. We actually did this in February, and now, 9 months later, after getting to watch him every day, we will update our Juan Soto contract predictions. Plus, we'll keep you posted on the NFL trade deadline, which is fast approaching at 4 o'clock. It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Little throwback Tuesday, because in exactly 12 minutes, I'm going to do something that I used to do on the radio an awful lot, and that's criticize Todd Bowles. It's going to be weird. It's going to be like where it's psychedelic. So we'll get to some of the decisions from last night, but I want to show you how serious I am about Juan Soto, because I am serious about Juan Soto. I think this is the most important free agent signing in the history of the New York Mets. And I want to make it very clear how serious I am with what I'm about to tell you, Tiki Barber.
Go ahead.
Last year at this time, I made a declaration. I don't know if you guys remember said declaration, but I was pretty adamant about extending Pete Alonso.
Yes.
I even said I will not cut my hair until Pete Alonso gets extended. That turned into not shaving my beard. And that lasted for 6.5 months. Now, finally, I cut everything to try to spark the Met team. It worked at least 1.5 weeks later. But I love Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso is near and dear into my heart, and I would love Pete Alonso to be a Met forever. But I am willing to make Pete Alonso a sacrifice. If it means signing Juan Soto, then Pete, I wish you best of luck on your future endeavors.
So cold-blooded.
Is it, though?
All you do is care about Pete Alonso and his legacy and finishing his story as a New York Met.
Yeah.
And being a homegrown hero that would retire a Met and go into the Hall of Fame after hitting 570 home runs in his illustrious career. Whether or not he scored won a championship or not, who cares? But at least he was a Met. Mm-hmm. Developed as a Met. Lived his life as a Met. Loved as a Met.
Yeah.
And now you're like, okay, I got a cute girl coming up. See ya.
Yeah. I can't argue with how you framed it. It's a really disloyal thing for me to say, but it's business. Now, in a perfect world, Steve Cohen's got more money than God, so sign Juan Soto and keep Pete Alonso. That'd be the fantasy. But I'm willing, because I am a very sane human being, a reasonable human being, that if you're going to give Juan Soto $700+ million, you may have to cut a corner here and there.
Yep.
And I'm willing to publicly sacrifice my dear friend Pete Alonso. And that just shows you how serious I take this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Now, how disappointed are you and Met fans going to be if he doesn't come here?
Juan Soto?
That's the other question.
Massively disappointed.
Now, what happens if Juan Soto leaves, goes someplace else, so you're courting this girl and she likes the other guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then your wife now, Pete Alonso, says, all right, you didn't want me? I don't want you.
That's a problem.
See ya.
That's a big problem. I would try to be honest with my current wife. I would say, listen, here's the deal. I can't do this, but Loogie does this all the time, where he talks about if he wins the lotto, he's just going to leave his wife and run away with Sidney Sweeney. Like, I would. So, actually, Loogie, can you have this conversation with Pete for me? Because I can't do it. It's not in my DNA.
Yeah.
Can you tell him about the deal right now? Go ahead.
Okay, Pete. So, here's the deal. You're very attractive. We have a great life together. Your parents leave me alone. They don't break my balls. But here's the deal. there's a better looking woman out there. If she comes calling, you're out. Right. Don't let the door hit you on the ass.
No. What you should say, if she comes calling, you're welcome to stay.
Yeah.
We have a guest room.
Right. We have a guest room. You know, sometimes we'll all be together.
That is true. We want you to stay.
Thursday nights, the three of us can hang out. But for the most part, and publicly, this is the new wife.
And also, remind him, the reason we're looking for said new wife is not only more attractive, but a lot younger, too.
Younger, more attractive. Yeah, the whole deal.
Boy, Pete Alonso's never going to talk to us again.
No, you're right.
But this is the cold, hard reality, and it shows you how serious we take this.
It's business, baby.
It's all business. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free telephone number. Billy, down in Florida. What's up, Billy?
Hey, how we doing?
What's up, man?
Amazing. What's up?
Rallying. I am so pumped. Tiki Barber, I'm a huge Giants fan.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for everything you've done. Evan, you're killing it, always. You got me pumped with this Pete Alonso. With this Juan Soto, man. I'm really rallying about it with you.
This is what we've been waiting for. I mean, let's just be honest, Billy. Like, as Met fans, we've been waiting for this. And this is the owner who can deliver it. Look, there have been other really good free agents over the last 24 years. You could argue Bryce Harper. But we all knew they weren't players for Bryce Harper because Jeff Wilpon owned the team.
Yep.
Same with Manny Machado. But when A-Rod haunts me, he does. And I do my best every time Alex is on to not bring this up over and over again. Now, but he haunts me that he wasn't a Met.
What happened? Why did he not end up being a Met?
So,
is it simply because of the money?
So I believe,
because he wanted to be a Met, right?
He wanted to be a New York Met. He was nicknamed Shay-Rod. And Steve Phillips put out a story, whether it's true or not, I don't know, that A-Rod was a 24-1 kind of guy. There were 25 guys on the roster. That he wanted his own billboards, and it was a very separate feeling of what A-Rod was demanding. And that leak felt like a leak to explain why they weren't signing him. I think what it came down to is they didn't want to give him the $252 million he eventually got from the Texas Rangers, which sounds like such small potatoes now.
Right.
And I think A-Rod took the most money. Right. He was represented by Scott Boras.
I mean, it was 20-something years ago.
It was. It was a very long time ago. So I think Alex probably has the regrets of not going to Scott. I think he told us this a few years ago. Yeah, I regret not going to Scott saying, let's just make a deal with where I want to be.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Juan Soto's like that. I think Juan Soto's just going to take the biggest offer. So for Scott Boras, this is going to be easy, which is why if you're the Mets, you just have to make the highest offer. But I'm still haunted by not getting that generational talent at that age that they missed out on with Alex Rodriguez. And Juan Soto is your next opportunity. And I got to be honest, if you look ahead, and I've done this, to the next few years of free agency, he's your only opportunity.
Yeah.
Guys like this don't become free agents.
No. Well, and any of the young players that we're talking about, they're, one, getting signed by their teams early, so pre-arbitration, or they fizzle out. They don't become what you think they are.
Right.
And so there's very few of these young players who are exactly what you thought they were going to be, maybe even more than you thought that they were going to be, and available. It's just that the really availability is the biggest one. These guys are getting contracts at 22 years old.
Yeah,
these days.
You're betting on them at a young age. Now, Juan had that opportunity a few years ago from the Washington Nationals when they offered him, I think it was 12 years, $400 million. And Juan Soto, to his credit, said, no, I'm going to bet on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a pretty damn good bet by Juan Soto. Let's go to Chris in Flint, Michigan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Happy Election Day.
Happy Election Day.
So I want to say I've been going back and forth all year. Obviously, when we were at our low, I was like, you know, I just want Soto. That's all I'm thinking about. Then we go on this amazing run. I'm like, well, maybe we can just get a couple pieces like a Santander and all these guys like that and still keep it like that. But the more I think about it is we need Juan Soto. We need that superstar to make everyone else even better.
By the way, Chris Lindor, you brought something up. I don't even think you meant to do it that also mirrors the mistake of 2000. The Mets got to the World Series in 2000.
Yeah.
And I think a part of why they didn't go all the way for Alex is there was this naivete of, well, we just got to the World Series. Do we need Alex Rodriguez? And the answer is, of course you did, you schmucks.
Yes, so maybe we can learn from that. And I want to make a plead real quick, like you did or as you started the show. And that's Steve Cohen, please, if you are listening, Mets fans, you're a diehard Mets fan, Mr. Cohen, please get this guy. He's young. He's amazing. Who cares if he can't field? You can always move him to DH if that becomes an issue. We want his bat. We want him. You guys are coming to Detroit next year in September. Let's make that series be a playoff-bound push. Let's do this. I'm pumped. Let's go, Soto.
Let's go and vote. You're Chris in Michigan. And you got a very important vote there, Chris.
All right, I hope you did it already, Chris.
Yes. What time did you do it?
8:10.
8:10?
As soon as we dropped the girls. It's really 8:15. Dropped the girls off at 8:10. Tracy and I drove to the library.
Mm-hmm.
Got a parking spot right out front.
Look at you.
Not even overflow. I think we just pulled in right when someone pulled out. I was like, is that a parking spot right in front of the library?
Yes.
And it was.
Nice.
Walked right in, did my signature to get my verification, and then I voted.
Can I tell you my wife. A really funny, I probably shouldn't
and
say.
And I got my sticker.
There's your sticker!
He's wearing it.
I'm wearing my sticker, too, baby.
There we go.
Just because you're not wearing your sticker because you didn't vote, Sean.
I did vote.
Can I ask a question about the sticker, too, I realized?
Yes.
Do they actually hand them out? Because I still have never seen one voting for a presidential election.
So when
really?
We went, there was a roll of stickers. They handed a whole roll to both of my sons. Mm. So we have like 30 I voted stickers.
Well, that's being...
Where did you vote? What was your...
You want to give away?
Locale. No. What was your locale?
An elementary school in my town.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Me too. That's what I had.
Huh.
Tiki?
We were at a library.
That's kind of cool to do a library.
Right.
When I was living in Queens, it was in my apartment building.
I think our district might have passed something where schools aren't allowed
really
to host the election because of potential, chaos.
Right.
So... I don't think schools can do it in our town.
I was right in a wrestling gym. I got cauliflower ear. I can't get my vote no sticker.
I had
all the kids that are there are around. They probably stole all the stickers.
Probably. Mm. That would be the issue.
Right.
I had quite an incident while voting. Now, it wasn't me, but let's just say a relative of mine made a mistake on their ballot.
Oh.
And listen to the mistake that my relative made. I'm not calling out who it was. I don't want them to be embarrassed. They were very excited to vote for who they were voting for. And as you know, especially in the state of New York, both major party candidates are listed twice.
Yes.
They are not only the Democrat and Republican, but I think it's working families and whatever the other label is. So a relative of mine got so excited to vote for the person they were voting for, they literally, on the same sheet, colored in the name twice. And so the voting person... had to tell them, you messed up.
Wait, your voting was by pencil?
It was it was Scantron, basically.
What?
Yeah, that's what we do in New York.
It's
you have a pen
marker,
and you
got
to circle in the bubble, and then you put it in a machine. That's how we vote.
Right. Well, we get a card that you put into the machine, you slide into the machine, but then it's a digital screen, and you just point and click. You can undo
it. Are you serious?
100%.
Wow.
You point, you do the city council.
I'm shaking a marker down so it doesn't run out.
You do the school board. You do the referendum for whatever it was, something with the school. Then you would say vote, and it pulls your ballot up and shows you the ballot.
Huh.
And then as long as it's correct, you do cast ballot.
Yeah, we
and
don't
have
that.
And it takes that paper ballot and sticks it in a bin.
We didn't have that. We literally had to fill out the sheet.
You guys are low on technology.
I know.
But we pump our own gas, pal.
We have that going for you. I felt so bad for my relative.
That extra revenue from the gas, from having someone pump, allows us to have digital voting.
See, that's not true. You just made that up.
Come on. No, I did just
don't
make
Don't pull
that
my
up.
Leg on that. But that was a great experience.
And this is why you should be able to vote on your phone.
Stop it, Tommy.
You're dipping a pen in an ink with a feather on the end of it like you're writing the Declaration of Independence. It's 2024. We can vote on we can do everything on our phones. We should be able to vote on our phones.
I promise you this. By the time my youngest son, who's 8 years old, is eligible to vote in 10 years, I think we'll get to that point.
Mm.
I do. I think, but we're not there yet. Not in 2024, pal. Sorry. Let's go to Paul on Long Island. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
I just want to know, Tiki, I have to say, you get it all the time. Love watching you play football, man. It was awesome.
I appreciate you, bro.
Thanks again. Yeah. I really want to know, I'm not the fan that puts everything on the line for baseball. I don't know everything I need to know.
All right.
I just want to know if he is not the defender that everybody wants him to be. And, in the playoffs, he wasn't even on the top leaderboards for home runs, for RBIs, for even for the home run leader. I mean, why are you guys making him to be this end-all, be-all player for this amount of money?
Because he is. I mean,
but why? All, I feel like it's a popularity contest. Well,
okay, a couple of things. So you brought up his postseason this year. He hit .327 with a 1,100 OPS. So when you say he didn't lead in home runs or lead in RBIs, anyone who watched him knows he had a monster postseason.
Right. It's hard to hit home runs. Yes. It's hard to get RBIs, especially when some of the guys in front of you or the bottom of your lineup, because he's batting second, don't get on base. And so his on base and slugging and everything was it was above average, far above average.
Yes, in the small sample size of the 14 postseason games he played.
And it's postseason, so it's better competition.
No doubt. He was better than his regular season numbers. So bringing up the playoffs is a big mistake. Now, you brought up his defense. Okay. He's not Roberto Clemente in right field. I'll be the first to tell you that. He's not a Gold Glover in right field. Now, what I would say watching him every day, and that's the advantage we had playing for the New York Yankees, that I can look at outs above average. I can look at all these sabermetrics, but I also give you my eye test. My eye test is he was average. All right? He wasn't a butcher in right field, I didn't think. No. I thought Starling Marte had a worse year defensively in right field than Juan Soto.
I mean, how many games did he play in right field?
Who are we talking about?
Marte.
He played enough for me to know he sucked. Trust me. So I think he's an average defensive right fielder. He's an average base runner. And yeah, he will get worse with age. But his hitting is his calling card. His eye is his calling card. And I believe he can do that for the next decade and a half. So, yes, he's not all around A+, A+, A+. I think you have to have eyes wide open. But I don't think his defense and his base running is enough to marginalize not wanting the guy on your team or not being willing to give him the $50 million per year he's probably going to get.
Yeah.
So I disagree with you. Let's go to Nick in Dobbs Ferry. Hey, Nick.
How you doing, Evan?
Good.
Tiki.
What's up?
On to say, didn't care for you much as a football player, but I think you're a very handsome man.
Thank
you. Got a great voice.
Appreciate you.
Okay. Wow, okay.
I take that compliment very much to heart.
You should.
Appreciate you.
You should.
What's up, dude?
Okay. Well, I agree with everything you're saying about Juan Soto to a degree, but I think Evan's thinking too much with his head below his waist instead of the one above it.
Okay, go ahead.
Juan Soto is worth every penny, but is he worth the long contract that everyone is thinking to give him? My question is, do you really think he's actually 26 years old?
Yes.
Albert Pujols was actually 21 years old when he came up with the Cardinals. You were talking about Boston.
That's not fair, though. But look, that's not fair because I can only base it on what we already know. And the guy's been in the major leagues for 7 years. I'm going to take the leap of faith that if there was some kind of fraud around his age, we would have found out about it already. In fact, there was actually a report a few days ago, and I forget the team that's involved, in which a prospect was lying about their age.
Right.
That they were pretending to be 6 years younger than they actually were. So I'm not naive to not tell you that this hasn't happened. You mentioned Fausto Carmona. You mentioned other guys like where it has occurred. But I can't sit here and tell you that a guy who's been in the major leagues for 7 years and is listed as 26 years old is frauding all of us. I just can't do that.
I don't remember the story. I mean, I know he's Dominican, but I don't remember how he got here.
He was signed as a young amateur free agent.
Baseman. Yeah.
And he was brought in at a very young age, which a lot of prospects are. And he ended up getting to the major leagues at an incredibly young age. Like, he started playing in the Nationals organization when he was 17 years old and then got called up while he was 19.
Yeah.
So it was a quick rise, and it obviously turned out to be a great decision, but that's just based on really nothing. It's based on the fear of, well, there's been other young Dominican players, and it turned out they weren't the correct age. That doesn't mean that's the case with Juan Soto. I thought you were going to suggest, and it's a fair question, how do you think he ages over the next 12 years? Albert Pujols did not age well, and that's fine. I get that. And what I would tell you is any long contract you give, you have to know going in, it's probably going to be bad the last couple of years.
Right.
Francisco Lindor is a great example. I don't expect the last few years of his contract to be great.
Yeah, he's not going to be a Gold Glove shortstop. And, well, maybe he still might be. Who knows? Because, I mean, there's Ozzie was for a long time, even when he was older. But is he going to be hitting 35 home runs this season?
I don't know.
Probably not.
But if you give me at least half that contract playing at a high level, to me, that's a win.
Yeah, and again, part of the reason you've signed these contracts is to help you win a World Championship.
That's the other thing.
And if you do, it's worth it. It's worth every penny.
No question.
It's just the problem is the hard part is winning the championship.
Yeah. There's something that, you know, doesn't affect us because it didn't happen here, but a few years ago, the Washington Nationals signed Patrick Corbin to a 6-year, $140 million deal.
And Patrick Corbin goes to the Nationals, and in his first year has a really good year. Mm-hmm. And the Nationals win the World Series.
Yeah.
Okay? He then proceeds over the next 5 years to be the worst pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely, unpitchably horrible. Led the league in losses three straight years, had ERAs in the five and sixes over the next 5 years. And I always find it funny, like, well, wasn't it worth it? You won the World Series in the first year.
Most people will say yes.
I would say yes.
Why would you not?
Right.
You got what you wanted out of them.
Right. The goal is to win a championship.
Now, if it was a 10-year deal, that's a different story, but that wouldn't have made sense at the time because of his age, but that's absolutely worth it.
Joe's in Milford, Connecticut. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, so, you know, we're talking about generational talent, and how about generational ownership?
Okay.
So Steve Cohen really wants to make a splash in New York and be a generational owner. He's got to make Hal Steinbrenner bring the man purse to the table when he's wheeling his manhood in with that wheelbarrow.
You're right.
And throw whatever kind of money they need on the table and get the guy that wants to stay in New York. And I'm a Yankees fan, and I don't think we're gonna match up with Steve Cohen.
I think, Joe, it's a great
point.
That's
the fear of a lot of Yankee fans.
I understand, but I think the fear is also based around Hal, that Hal spends, and he's a big market owner, but they're worried that he doesn't have that same killer instinct George had. George would never let Juan Soto go to the Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I know people hate hearing what George would do. He hasn't been here for a long time. But I think we all realize that he would never let this happen. Hal may let this happen. And I agree with Jim's point. Like, this is a generational opportunity for Steve Cohen. Because you can still be a really good big market owner by not signing Juan Soto, but you won't be the guy we fantasized about. Hmm. And what we fantasized about was not only getting the best player on the market, but yes, I apologize, Sean, because this isn't personal.
Sure.
Sticking it to people like you. And that's an opportunity that Steve Cohen has.
I agree. And Steve Cohen, absolutely. This should be the moment Met fans could wave their pom-poms. I applaud Steve Cohen for attempting to do this.
But it would be a fan thing. What you're talking about is a fan thing.
But remember,
the players aren't going to think that
no,
way.
No, I agree.
Players won't. But remember, Steve Cohen also bought the Mets with his bottomless pockets, which, by the way, Tiki Barber was first to alert everybody for.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was also a Met fan.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. It's an owner that also doubled as a fan of the team.
I mean, you're right, but I don't
think... Can't tell me that's not in the back of his head at all, his anti-Yankee stuff.
Yeah, but doesn't he have a loyalty, but there's a... I don't know. There's a connection with the Yankees, right? Because Hal supported his ownership, and that's a big part of it. Like, to get in the club, you don't just get in the club because you have billions of dollars.
But the favors are done. He didn't go after Aaron Judge. I don't know if there was a favor involved in that.
And by
but
the
that's
way,
different.
I'm not even talking about the favor. I don't know what their relationship is.
Right.
Like, if they hate each other and it just kind of like friends because they're, you know, baseball owners in New York, if they hate each other, then fine. But I don't know if there's like a respect thing or just give me a heads up type of thing.
You're right. There might be a respect thing for Hal and give a heads up. But if you're Steve Cohen, Steve Cohen grew up like Evan Roberts' son grew up, being tormented by those same Yankee fans. I am sure in Steve Cohen's mind, this is I'm doing it for all of you because I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
And there's got to be an element of the Yankee stuff with him.
If that exists, then that would give the Mets even more of an opportunity to make this splash. Real quick, last night, had a great night. Me and Sean, Pete Hoffman joined us. We were at the Brooklyn Nets game. They beat the Grizzlies 4-4, pretty much the same record as the Knicks.
The Nets still in the league.
Kind of hilarious. And we watched a little bit of the Monday night game. And there were two things about Todd Bowles that I definitely want to address because they boggled my mind. The one that's getting the most attention is not going for two.
Yeah.
After the Buccaneers scored the touchdown that pulled them within one, obviously they kicked the extra point. They go to overtime.
Nothing to lose. You're game above 500. You're now a game below, right? But you're whatever. You're on the road against Kansas City.
That's the key right there, too.
And if you lose the toss, as we saw when they lost the coin toss, and Baker Mayfield is like, ah.
Because he knew.
He knew. He's like, we lost. We're losing this game.
You can't not go for two there.
I agree.
And so I think that's
especially
obvious.
Especially on the road,
against the Chiefs.
Yes.
You can't allow that to happen. But what if I told you that wasn't his biggest mistake? His biggest mistake turned out not to burn him, but leaving 27 seconds on the clock for Patrick Mahomes and using the timeout when he did right before the touchdown was freaking egregious. It turned out not to matter. to the Bucks' credit, because their defense got off the field and the Chiefs ended up punting and we went to overtime. But of all the Todd Bowles mistakes, and I've witnessed a lot of them, I could actually write a book on Todd Bowles mistakes. Teague, I thought that one was worse.
Yeah. I mean, it created the opportunity for what ultimately happened. You gave Pat Mahomes a chance with the ball. And there's certain quarterbacks, we've talked about this many times because Aaron Rodgers used to be one of these guys. There's certain guys that you just can't give any time. Give it to them with 10 seconds.
Yes.
So it's Hail Mary or nothing. Otherwise, they're going to beat you. They're too good. They're too good of playmakers to not get to let them not take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, think about this. Todd Bowles' biggest mistake is not being talked about nearly as much because of another big mistake. Mm-hmm. That's basically what talking about Monday night's football game after the fact did. But give the Chiefs credit. They continue to win. It's always ugly. Credit to Tiki and to Lugie. They both got the game right. They took the points. Me and Sean laid the points. But here's the bottom line about the Kansas City Chiefs, points or not. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost the game yet.
You're right, but they were losing in this game.
I know. And you know who that really, really bothers? Who really eats up?
Who?
Tom Brady. Because he's watching Patrick Mahomes maybe get to accomplish something that he couldn't do.
You already know.
That Bill couldn't do.
Three-peat.
Not just a three-peat, but the undefeated season. And Sean tweeted this out last night.
That's
and got
not
me
happening.
All hot and bothered. He said, guess what? Tom Brady's calling the Super Bowl. And I'm like, oh, my God. Could you imagine Tom Brady, who's already compromised anyway because he's sort of can't rip the officials because he's a part owner.
Even though he did, and they did not reprimand him.
Yeah, because he's above the law. Can you imagine Tom Brady calling not just the Chiefs trying to win a three-peat, put an undefeated season. Oh, my God. He's going to be the most miserable man in America.
Sign me up. Go Chiefs.
I'm with you. Like, obviously, go Chiefs until the Jets beat him in the AFC Championship game.
Sure. No, that's realistic. Yeah.
But prior to that.
I mean, you got to. Okay.
Yeah. Tiki's trying to be nice.
All right.
He's like,
I'm just going to choose to not say anything.
Yeah, because you know why? Because we already know. To quote Tom Brady, we already know. Like, they got a lot of work to do. We'll come back and get to your calls, back to your calls at 888-808-1019. Met fans are giddy. They want Juan Soto. Yankee fans are getting protective. We'll also make our official predictions on what this contract's going to look like. Believe it or not, many months ago, we did this. Before he ever played a game for the New York Yankees, let's reopen that and see what our predictions even were for a Juan Soto contract and what we think now, today on November 5th. 888-808-1019.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.